Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Nick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Nick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome to another wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Coming to you live on your drive home, or more specifically, my drive home. As I got to little stuck at work, so I'm coming to you being at 422.
Yeah. And yeah, as the one page on Facebook suggests, the 422 stuff.
Indeed it does. That is for sure. But we have a lot to talk about today. Last night, 3 years of pain and suffering have finally come to fruition. Philadelphia 76ers get the number one pick, and all things probably going towards Ben Simmons, and hopefully he turns into a stud player, and we just kind of got to figure out all the other pieces as we go along.
Yeah, and, you know, the big news, of course, getting that number one, that means I will not be campaigning to fight Adam Silver. Because I promised that the Sixers didn't get the number one pick and the Lakers did, that I was going to be challenging Adam Silver to a fight.
Well, that's somehow not surprising, as you and Commissioners just have a love-hate.
Yeah, me and Commissioners don't get along.
But unfortunately, we were unable to get the Lakers pick. But,
yeah.
You know, again, that was kind of a low probability of that. But, you know, again, they still have 24 and 26. Again, there's a possibility that they trade one of their bigs. I can certainly see them trading, you know, one of their bigs and you know, trying to move up into that top 7-6 range and maybe getting a player like Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield.
Right,
like
a guard,
compliment.
Yeah.
So, you know, and obviously with Saric and Embiid coming and playing this year, upcoming season, you know, my thought process is, you know, let's see what we have with Embiid, the injury history. You know, I would hate to trade away Jahlil Okafor, and then Embiid gets hurt and he never plays again. And then we're like, oh, great. There goes that.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd say don't try to outsmart yourself here. Yeah.
Let's see how it works a year. Personally, I think Dario Saric and I think Nerlens Noel can be a, you know, 6 and 7 player on the six. That would be ideal to me to be number six and seven on the pecking order. So hopefully Jahlil can learn to play more of the four, and you have Embiid playing the five. You know, you have Simmons playing the three. You know, maybe
and then figure out your 2 and 1.
You sign a point guard and or a shooting guard. And there you go. You have a pretty good solid team right there.
Well, it's even being the starting point guard this year. And then figure out your two-guard situation.
Sure. That's probably more likely, but I think the point guard market on the free agency this upcoming offseason is probably a little better than your shooting guard. But again, you know, it's going to be a tough sell for Philadelphia to do it. Hey, come on and play with all these rookies and young players.
Well, think about it. If you're a young point guard and you're looking for somewhere to go and be a part of something long term, if I'm a young point guard and I'm a distributor and I see the Sixers is looking at a Ben Simmons, you know, to get your primary, you know, scoring option, and then you got the bigs down there. I'm looking at the Sixers as a good spot to go play point guard.
perhaps. I mean, I would love to hope that is the thought process. But, you know, who knows? I mean, again, I think the Colangelos kind of want to fast forward on this thing and kind of want to say, hey, let's start to try to win now. And, you know,
I don't want to see us try to do too much too quick.
I agree. But I can see us trading like a Jahlil Okafor and whatever for somebody like a Paul George. You know, again, who knows, but Paul George is relatively young, 26. He certainly has an injury history, but he's certainly proven this past season he was a top 10 player. And, you know, who knows, be on the spot. So, again, it all depends on how not only aggressive, but how we can go about getting people here in free agency. We have plenty of money.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and get, you know, a halfway decent guard to go along with everything that we supposedly have. And again, if, you know, Saric and Noel, you know, are going to be your 6 and 7, you know, that's a good top 7. Again,
Well, then you're looking at a very deep team. If you can get that backcourt situated, then you're looking at a very deep team. And that's if you haven't traded away any of your bigs in order to get that backcourt straightened out.
Yeah. I'd definitely be in favor of trying to trade 24 and 26 and see what kind of player you could get for that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd be willing to give a team 2 picks right there for a, you know, mediocre player, above average, on the cusp of stardom kind of player. You know, again, if we got to throw in some, you know, other picks there, you know, some of our.
I was gonna say, in order to get something that of good value, you probably got to go for some sort.
Probably.
You know, another player.
Yeah, we don't necessarily need a stud. You know,
right.
Shoot him down. You know, you just need somebody who's, you know, above average.
Yeah,
so.
And it's going to be something, as we get closer, I imagine over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get a lot of scenarios that people are going to try to introduce. Maybe we'll come up with our best scenarios here on the show. Tweet us at the_Philly_Mick or the Philly_tweet. You know, we can maybe take the best one and bring them on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see how the draft unfolds, how, you know, with any potential trades. And also with, free agency coming up, you know, how or who we're able to get. So, you know, again, I think the next 2 years are going to be huge. You know, again, we may not get everything all we want this offseason, but, you know, again, next offseason, the free agency list is insane as well. What we got to do is, you know, you get yourself a top free agent this year. That'll help you get a top free agent next year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to have to be the thing. Once you can get one of those dominoes involved, once you get one big free agent to choose to come here, then all of a sudden become an organizer and become a boss.
Yeah. So. It'll be fun to see, and hopefully, we've seen the last of the tanking Sixers.
Yeah, no more tanks, please.
Yeah. And that's very interesting. Once the Sixers did get that number one pick, you know, this year of our four major sports teams, three of them have been either be picking one or two
in their drafts.
Flyers are the only one.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, Flyers, get straight up to get that top pick.
Which I'm sure would cost them.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. But, yeah, so things are well, once Blake is at least starting to look up, you know, again, 6% that we suffered. And, you know, it's time to put a winning basketball team on the court. And hopefully next year it is. Hopefully Embiid comes out and he just blows up. He's, you know, he's Anthony Davis, Pat Sten.
Yeah.
Cyrus comes in and he's, you know, hitting, you know, shots left and right. And Jaleel learns to play the four defensively and everything that goes with it. And we could have a good squad. We got the pieces. We just hope the guys fit together.
Yeah, it was something like the inner workings of how the draft, lottery works. It's funny the numbers I had to explain the whole. So many different scenarios that are catching. Like, what does it mean this guy came in 25% to? Yeah, that was funny for my answer. It definitely left you very confused. And all you was like, look, just follow my future. If the Sixers gets number one pick, I'll be happy. He's like, okay.
Yeah, I think for some reason the Sixers didn't get the number one or number two. I think it would have been a disaster. It would have all been not worth it.
Yeah, and I
hear you.
And I would definitely be blaming the asshole.
That is a shocker.
Yeah. Well, I know that he has been one of the guys that's against what the Sixers have been doing, and I certainly believe that it's my belief that he approached the Sixers and basically said, if you don't get rid of Sam Hinkie, then we're not going to let you be the first pick. And that's what I think, and that's what he said now.
It's possible. Certainly possible. That's kind of a dick move, but...
Yep.
Well, you know how I feel about commissioners in general, so...
I certainly, you know, would be one believing to that.
But I'm very happy with the results last night. Would have loved to have gotten the one air score, but I think that would have been greedy. But certainly happy with getting the number one pick.
Yeah, I mean.
And now, I don't know if you know this. Does this mean that next year we're getting the Lakers pick and still top three protected?
I think it's still top three protected. And then the following year is. But I would assume the Lakers are going to try and quickly build and they'll put a Band-Aid over it. And by the time...
by the time we get that take, I'll be with teams.
Yeah.
Oh, check this out. We actually have a caller. So I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller in. He's one of our regulars. Caller, you're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, old man?
I'm hanging in there.
How are you? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
So I guess everybody's disappointed we didn't get the Lakers pick, right?
Sure, but yeah, I think we're all happy.
Happy that we got the number one pick, right?
Yeah, I think that's obviously the most important. And, you know, the draft kind of protects to be a little bit better, you know, next year. So, again, if the Lakers are at least, you know, outside that three but inside the top 10, we could be looking at another decent player on the roster. So.
Yeah, but with the players that the Lakers have accumulated now, I mean, they've got at least three or four good players there now. I mean, I don't know what else they have. Is there a chance they may get, like, in the bottom of the playoff picture for the West? I know the West has a lot of good teams, but.
It would depend. I mean, we'll be able to judge that more in a month or so, I would think.
I mean, they've had several down years. They've got John Randall. They've got the guy we wanted last year. And they're going to get the second pick this year.
Yeah, probably Ingram, I would think.
I kind of think the Sixers, I think, would be better served to take Ingram than they would Simmons. But how do you guys feel?
I'm more on the camp of I want Ben Simmons, but I want to outmark ourselves. Best player in this draft. One with the biggest upside. Let's not make this too complicated. Yeah, Ben Simmons is the best player in the draft.
Simmons' upside is higher, whereas, you know, again, I think, you know, Ingram may do, you know, maybe be able to come in right away and perform a little bit better just because he's a better shooter and he plays better defense. But I truly believe that, you know, Simmons, when said and done, is going to be the better player.
But which player do you think would fit better into what the Sixers are trying to do right now?
I still think it's Ben Simmons. Unique because one, he can handle the rock. He's more like a point forward type.
Uh-huh.
And I think he'd be a good guy, you know, one, if you handle the ball. And I do think he'll develop a good shot. You know,
he doesn't really have a shot right now.
No,
that is definitely the one knock on him is that.
But I think, you know, a lot of times we don't see a player develop an NBA jump shot until his, like, third year. So, in the chain, I think he can grow into an okay shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you.
In the long run, I'll be fine with either one.
What do we need right now? What does Okafor need right now? He needs some shooters out there. I mean, I think Ingram, for what we need, they're comparing him to Kevin Durant. Now, I don't know who they're comparing Ben Simmons to, but if you got somebody that could shoot like Kevin Durant, he's 6'9", plays defense, something that we need to be doing. He'd be hard to turn down, I'll tell you.
Well, look, if that's who the Sixers end up taking, I'm not going to do funky beers. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd be happy with it. But I look at, as you go down in their career, you know, for the, like, if you break down the career, say we think that both players are going to go 50. Okay, first 5 years, I think Ingram would have the advantage. The next 10, I would give the advantage to Ben Simmons.
Well, that all depends on how he progresses. I mean, I've heard a few negative things as far as, you know, not playing all the time and taking plays off, stuff like that. There's been a couple things. I know he could, the potential there is, you know, there's a higher ceiling, but the chances of him realizing that, I think, could be difficult. I think he's still going to be a very good player, but I just feel like for what the Sixers need, I think Ingram could certainly be the ticket. But like you said, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these guys.
Right.
But I'm just trying to picture them with a 6'10 point guard. Of course, I guess they call him a ball handling power forward. I don't.
Yeah,
I've heard people talking about using him as a point guard type of guy, and that's got to be scary right there.
Well, I think what it is, he's good with the ball in the hand, and those are some of the skill sets you look for in a play. Like, I don't think he's going to be as good as, like, say, Magic Johnson, but that's what they projected about him, where he was a small forward who handled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're saying, that Ben Simmons, not to suggest that he's as good as Magic Johnson, but that's like
mm-hmm.
the field where he's a ball handler playing forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I heard that that our coach actually was his father's coach.
Yes. Yeah, Brett Brown was Benson's father's coach, which I think it's funny. So that now, he knows Ben Simmons from birth.
Yeah. He's not his godfather or anything, is he?
No, I hope it's something like that where he's sworn in, he has to pick him because
yeah.
the godfather.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, not like Larry Brown promised Larry Hughes he'd draft him, and then Paul Pierce is sitting there and he still put Larry Hughes.
Oh, God, that's so haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
that wouldn't
I
be.
Mean, this time we control the draft board, so... If you know, whether it's Simmons or Ingram, like you said, I don't think they can go wrong, and I think the other one will go too, Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Los Angeles is going to be more than happy to take either one of them. You know.
Yes, they should be.
But,
yeah.
But I think they'll be happy if Ingram falls to them.
Sure,
I think
Ingram would be
I
great.
That was my mindset too. If the Sixers ended up getting number two, and, you know, in a way, I kind of would have preferred that because, you know, this way you're forced to take the other one, whereas with the first pick, you know, it's your decision to take whoever you take, and if that person does not do well, you can be looked as a failure, whereas, say, whoever does fall to number two and you know, you're kind of forced to take him, if that person doesn't do well, then it's kind of like, oh, well, who else were we going to choose, you know?
Yeah,
right.
At least they can't blame you for it, huh?
Exactly.
Well, just like a couple of years ago when the Sixers had the third pick, we took Joel Embiid, and everyone's, you took the guy who's hurt. Well, who are they supposed to pick? It's not like they chose Embiid over, Carl Anthony Towns or not that. But Wiggins and I forget who the number two guy was. Parker.
Yeah,
it was Wiggins and Parker. And then, indeed, yeah, people can criticize that one, but, you know, what was the fourth pick? Not they. So,
yeah, and a month before or more, everybody thought Embiid was going to be the number one pick.
Right.
Yeah.
And people thought the Sixers were going to get either Wiggins or Parker.
Yeah. Well, I think we wanted Wiggins.
He hadn't hurt his damn foot. Yeah.
That was winless for Wiggins.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. He got winless for Wiggins.
Well, this year it was sucked for Simmons, so.
It's amazing how these things have worked out. So we can come up with Wiggins.
Well, do you think now that we do have this number one draft pick, does that validate what Hinkie was doing?
I think if you get it right, yeah.
Good.
Well.
Yeah, it does. I think so. And yeah, it would have been nice had they been able to come away with another number one overall pick out of the three tanks. But you've gotten one, and then now you're going to be getting Embiid healthy. You're going to be getting Dario Saric over here. And
mm-hmm.
we'll see what we have with this group. And like Ryan was saying earlier, you know, if you're bringing Noel and Sarge off the bench, if you can somehow get Okafor to play,
mm-hmm.
you could you could really have something. And then with Simmons, and then you can figure out that back.
You know, well, that's why with that extra pick, I would have loved to seen him have the chance to get Chris Dunn.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been nice, sure.
Because I don't think they can package, what is it, the 24th and the 26th to move up to get him.
Oh, you're not moving up that far now.
Now, if they
if
they threw a player in now, rid of one of those big guys to get Chris Dunn? You know, like if we took – let's say we took Brandon Ingram and he's your shooting whatever. I'm not even sure what positions they have anymore.
I'm sure he would be
the shooting power forward or shooting small forward, I guess.
Yeah,
but anyway, but if you got Chris Dunn in there too, and you gave up one of your big guys, Nerlens or Okafor. I mean, I don't know if Embiid really intrigues me if he ever gets on the court because he can shoot a three-pointer.
Yeah, and I think Embiid is a guy who, if he's healthy, I mean, I want to see what he has. Right now, you would have to trade now. You would be able to get it.
Right, yeah, because he's never played.
Because he's not been on the court.
Right. Well, I think in the long run, if Embiid stays healthy, he's going to be your superstar.
And I agree with that, yeah. And that's what I think is ironic about it. The one guy who you probably need, the guy that, if he's healthy, he wouldn't want to move anyway. But, and that's Embiid.
That's why I say hold off on a year before you go ahead and trade any of the bigs and see what you have and see how you can make it work.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That works.
Yeah, don't be in too much of a rush.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. And again, if Embiid turns out to get, you know, injured halfway through the year and he's done for life, you're going to be darn glad you held on to Okafor.
Yeah. How about we haven't talked about is Sargic. He's supposed to be coming over.
Yeah, he'll be coming over. And look, if you're there on draft and you have a chance and basically you're sitting there and you have a chance to move up to go get done, and it's going to cost you, say, Nerlens Noel and the two I'd be real tempted to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, or maybe somebody wants Sargic, and you know, maybe we could deal him and those two picks to get up to. I guess I think the lowest pick we could get would be 6 to get Chris Dunn, but I don't know.
Yeah, I could see Chris Dunn going to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, we would have fallen with 8 or 9. That's where I think might have shot. Those two picks. And
get a chance to move up, huh?
Yeah.
Then they can
have a deal waiting for somebody if he falls to where we think we could get him.
Right.
I'd love to see us come away with two starters for next year. That's kind of what I was hoping.
Well, that would be
ideal,
yeah.
Yeah. Because in the guards, we don't have much of anything.
Yeah. What you need to have happen was, of all the second-round picks they've had over the last years, you need one of them to pan out and a real player.
Yeah. Well, I guess if Michael Carter Williams had panned out, we, you know.
But yeah, we got about, obviously we got a minute left, Brian, if you want to do all your thank you or sign off here.
Well, it's great talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, if you want to hold on and go on to the podcast, we're going to be there in about 30 seconds.
Can anybody on the phone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody else will be calling real quick, it's 323-642-1469, and we'll bring you on in. But I want to thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. Well, man, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
And so for the Philly Mick, I'm the Philly Hump, and everybody, we're going to see you in the podcast.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia.
All right, and we are online.
All right.
So, you're back.
Yeah. Yes, we're back in the day. This is the part of the show where we go zombie. We're not live anymore.
You're just dead.
Yeah. No, we're undead.
The undead.
I've been dead inside for a long time.
Yeah. You know, I had this real fear that, you know, the Lakers are going to end up with that number one pick.
So did I.
You know,
oh, I think yeah. everybody did. It just screamed conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess their whole point of doing this is because they don't want people to do what the Sixers did, right?
Right. Well, yeah, and this is where, like, because I was asked, why do you think they don't just go descending order worst to first as far as the draft picks? And I think it's for exactly that reason. It's the NBA, it's not like the NFL, they get that seventh round, and, you know, you get so many players every year. And, you know, everybody is getting, you know, a guy who can start for them. In the NBA draft, you get like 10, 12 guys, maybe 15 or so, that are really going to be legitimate starters.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, the top five are stars. So you don't want to reward a team too much.
Yeah, more than any other sport, the getting a top pick can change your franchise a lot more than it can in other sports. You know, with baseball, they have like 70 million rounds. And, you know, rarely does the number one pick actually pan out. It's the guy who was drafted in the 16th round that comes out of nowhere, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the Mike Piazzas of the world.
Yeah, exactly. There's a laundry list of players like that. Where,
yeah.
you know, in the NFL draft, yeah, most of your players are going to be in the first couple of rounds. But it happens all the time where your you know, all-star Hall of Famers come late rounds undrafted.
Sure, undrafted.
You know, same with hockey. It happens way too much. It's very rare when you have a second rounder or an undrafted player in the NBA turn out to be a good player. Not just a Hall of Famer or a stud. I'm saying a good player. That's rare.
Yeah.
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 So,
so they must do a much better job of evaluating the players in the NBA or in basketball, huh?
I think it's more there's not really an opportunity for guys to grow.
I think the game translates easier for people as they move up from, you know, high school to college to the pros. Whereas I feel like you know, in the NFL, it really is a big jump. I feel like in the baseball, even with the minor league system, there's a big jump in each system. Hockey, mm-hmm. same thing. You know, it's rare when your top pick is on the NHL roster. You know, whereas every other sport, your first rounder is going to be on your team, no matter what. But
well, I guess,
you know,
Ghost was the exception. They just couldn't keep him down.
Well, yes.
Well, that's the thing. Ghost wasn't the first round pick.
I think he was, but it was a later round first pick, wasn't it? Or was he like
the eighth pick? He was an undrafted college free agent that we signed.
No kidding! Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
You know, in football, I think of Jason Peters. I mean, he's a perfect example of someone who wasn't drafted, and he ended up, you know, coming in as a, you know, just signing as an undrafted.
Sure.
And look at him; he'll go into the Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah, and you can look all around, and even if it's not Hall of Famer, guys, you know, third round,
mm-hmm.
the most famous sixth round, Tom Brady.
Right.
Yeah, but I'd be hard-pressed to name any Sixer draft picks after the first that have – of course, I'd be hard-pressed to name any Sixer players that have done well, period.
Yeah, right. But that's the thing. With these last couple of years, they would have like 3, 4, 5, 6 round picks that,
yeah.
you know, none of them – you needed of all those picks, and over the last 2 years, I think it was just what – 10 second round pick.
Yeah. You know how many we have this year? None.
We don't have any seconds. That was going to be.
No, we traded. We have none now. The new owners
later.
Got rid of all this. They traded them all away.
Those
they don't believe
beautiful.
In second round picks.
Right. They're the same school as Ryan, I guess.
Yeah,
which is okay. All those second round picks weren't doing us any good, were they?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem. They didn't consider a single one of them into any kind of play. And look, I understand second round picks are not going to be, these guys aren't going to be great players, but you've got to be able to develop at least one. You have that many, you can't develop one guy.
Yeah, but Henke thought they were real chips, he thought he had something.
Well, yeah, and if that's where your scouting department has to be on top of things. You've got to have, you got to have people everywhere. So they do something the rest of the team. And that just wasn't happening.
A lot of sliding going on
and
here.
Yeah, I know. We're having a lot of sound effects here. Earlier, I think my phone had the echo. I don't know if you guys heard.
Were they kicking you out of your office?
I don't know what Ryan does. I'm sitting here. I've got the computer up on the couch.
Yeah. Well, when is the draft is, June 25th or something like that?
Yeah, it's always late June.
Yeah.
So I guess
the playoffs might be over by then, huh?
Hopefully. How about the Warriors?
Yeah, usually the finals is first week of June.
That's when they'll be over?
Yeah, and then it's 2 weeks later. Yeah, then 2 weeks later is the draft.
They have the draft. Okay. Well, who do you like this year?
I would have liked the Warriors, but I guess I got to beat the Cavaliers. They're the team playing the Cavaliers.
Isn't that an intrigue? That's going to be the best matchup. I mean, who cares when they play Cleveland? Well, Cleveland's playing well too, but okay, looks good.
Yeah, Oklahoma City is looking good right now. They won game one in Golden State. Tonight's game two. Yeah, definitely.
Well, this is a must-win for Golden State. They have to win
tonight. Oh, absolutely. If they don't win this one, this could be over.
Yeah.
And that would be – I understand Curry got everything. If you go 73-9 and you don't even make the NBA playoffs,
Make the finals.
Well, that's what I'm saying, make the finals.
Yeah, make the finals. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Look at San Antonio. They didn't did they lose any games at home this year?
Barely.
I don't think they lost any at home. That was some kind of record or something. I think they broke that record and then lost in the second round.
Yeah, and including losing game five at home. To Oklahoma City.
Yeah. They beat them two times in a row on.
They beat them twice. They gave in game two and game five.
Wow. I think San Antonio got old right in front of our eyes, right on TV.
Yeah, they did.
Wow. It's a shame
Duncan,
because.
Duncan's a shell of himself. Manager Ginobili could barely walk. Tony Parker can't even see.
And Duncan can't jump.
All they have is Kawhi Leonard at this point.
I know, and he couldn't do it all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
I thought Aldridge
would
come up short,
but. And how about Westbrook, man? He's something.
Who's that?
Westbrook.
Oh, Westbrook. Oh, yeah.
He's been unbelievable. And the other night, I'm watching, and, as Durant order, and Golden State's not really capitalized. Yeah, he's not going to miss every one of his shots, and he comes down there and makes a good shot towards the end.
I know. I couldn't. Yeah, with everything that OKC did, and Golden State couldn't take advantage of it. It was.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Right there at the end, they left the game wide open for Golden State to go take it, and they didn't take it.
Yeah.
Not looking forward to a big game two tonight. The rest of the series will be called the Full Force Recap at next week.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check in with you guys next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We appreciate it. We appreciate all
the right.
Giving us over the years.
Okay. Well, good show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, old man. Thanks for calling in.
All right. I'll talk to you guys next week then.
All right.
Bye, old man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Later.
Later.
Hi, Gov. Good to hear from the old man.
Good to hear from him.
Absolutely.
But I'll agree with a lot of what he said. You know, San Antonio definitely aged right before our eyes. That's something to watch.
Yeah, but death of, well, I guess of natural causes. Yeah, they certainly had their run. And, yeah, I wonder if Tim Duncan is going to come back next year. I almost think he shouldn't. I don't know how you feel about that.
I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he could somehow come back and be the player he was, that would be incredible. But
I don't know that he will. And I don't want to see him parade back out there. It would just be a sad thing to watch.
Probably.
We shall see. And how about this? He has made it into the podcast, deep into the podcast. And we haven't talked about the Eagle.
Yeah. That's a first.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd get, and I mean, well, get sports talk in there. But OTAs, of course, two notable no-shows so far for OTAs. With Darren Sproles and Fletcher Cox. We talked about the importance of Fletcher Cox 2 weeks ago. I think it was last week. But definitely, they're gonna have to get this fixed here. They're gonna have to get that contract. You know, get him a big long-term contract. Get him in there. And, I mean, as far as Darren Sproles go, I don't know if he was upset over a rumor to trade. He's got 1 year left in the deal. You're going to count $4.5 million against the cap. You're going to come in, and this is probably your last year, definitely as an Eagle. I like it, but I don't know that, you know, depending on what his asking price is next offseason. I think it's very easy to see that he could be moving on next year.
Yeah, I can see it.
So, I definitely would like to see, next week when we have our first Mandatory camp, I think it's June 7th, I think it's when it starts. So it'll be interesting to see, make sure everybody's there. With Fletcher Cox. They have him under contract for 1 more year. If they really want to, they can franchise him and bring him back in again. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't be happy and would probably skip OTAs next year as well.
Probably would be a little ticked off.
Yeah. But I really get him signed long term. We're about a minute away from being cut off, so if you want to get your great final thought in just before Blog Talk Lady cuts you off, I'll see if I can get you rolling again to play last week. We had a great point going. No main point you want to go on to right now?
Not really. I mean, I think we've covered all the stuff we wanted to cover today. And, again, I think we're in a good spot for all of our teams. You know, we have young, talented players on our team, future players on our team. Phillies are technically